Harper Audio presents A Drink Before the War by Dennis Lehane, performed by Jonathan Davis. My earliest memories involve fire. I watched Watts, Detroit, and Atlanta burn on the evening news. I saw oceans of mangroves and palm fronds smolder in napalm as Cronkite spoke of lateral disarmament and a war that had lost its reason. My father, a fireman, often woke me at night so I could watch the latest news footage of fires he'd fought. I could smell the smoke and soot on him, the clogging odors of gasoline and grease. And they were pleasant smells to me as I sat on his lap in the old armchair. He'd point himself out as he ran past the camera, a hazy shadow backlit by raging reds and shimmering yellows. As I grew, so did the fires, it seemed, until recently L.A. burned, and the child in me wondered what would happen to the fallout if the ashes and smoke would drift northeast, settle here in Boston, contaminate the air. Last summer it seemed to. Hate came in a maelstrom, and we called it several things. Racism, pedophilia, justice, righteousness. But all those words were just ribbons and wrapping paper on a soiled gift that no one wanted to open. People died last summer, most of them innocent, some more guilty than others. And people killed last summer, none of them innocent. I know. I was one of them. I stared down the slim barrel of a gun, looked into eyes rabid with fear and hatred, and saw my reflection. Pulled the trigger to make it go away. I heard the echoes of my gunshots, smelled the cordite, and in the smoke, I still saw my reflection. I knew I always would. Chapter 1. The bar at the Ritz-Carlton looks out on the public garden and requires a tie. I've looked out on the public garden from other vantage points before, without a tie, and never felt at a loss. But maybe the Ritz knows something I don't. My usual taste in clothes runs to jeans and diver shirts, but this was a job, so it was their time, not mine. Besides, I'd been a little behind on the laundry recently, and my jeans probably would have hopped the subway and met me there before I got a chance to put them on. I picked a dark blue double-breasted Armani from my closet, one of several I received from a client in lieu of cash. Found the appropriate shoes, tie, and shirt, and before you could say GQ, I was looking good enough to eat. I praised myself in the smoked glass bar window as I crossed Arlington Street. There was a bounce to my step, a bright twinkle in my eyes, and nary a hair out of place. All was right with the world. A young doorman, with cheeks so smooth he must have skipped puberty altogether, opened the heavy brass door and said, "Welcome to the Ritz-Carlton, sir." He meant it, too, his voice trembling with pride that I'd chosen his quaint little hotel. He held his arm out in front of him with a flourish, showing me the way in case I hadn't figured it out by myself. And before I could thank him, the door had closed behind me, and he was hailing the best cab in the world for some other lucky soul. My shoes clacked with military crispness on the marble floor, and the sharp creases of my pants reflected in the brass ashtrays. I always expect to see George Reeves as Clark Kent in the lobby of the Ritz, maybe Bogey and Raymond Massey sharing a smoke. The Ritz is one of those hotels that is resilient in its staid opulence. The carpeting is deep, rich oriental. The reception and concierge desks are made of a lustrous oak. The foyer is a bustling way station of lounging power brokers toting futures in soft leather attaché cases, Brahmin duchesses in fur coats with impatient airs and daily manicure appointments, and a legion of navy blue uniformed manservants pulling sturdy brass luggage carts across the thick carpeting with the softest whoosh accompaniment as the wheels find their purchase. No matter what is going on outside, You could stand in this lobby, look at the people, and think there was still a blitz going on in London. I sidestepped the bellman by the bar and opened the door myself. If he was amused, he didn't show it. If he was alive, he didn't show it. I stood on the plush carpet as the heavy door closed softly behind me and spotted them at a rear table, facing the gardens. Three men with enough political pull to filibuster us into the 21st century.